اوكي، بسم الله، الحمد لله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم أرنا حقيقة الأشياء كما هي. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope everybody is doing well. We are into the last عشرة, the last 10 days of Ramadan. For a lot of you, tonight is going to be the first odd night. We had hours here last night. And yeah, this is that time where we pick up on our slack and we make the most of what is remaining in Ramadan, inshallah. Moving right along to our episode for today, we're going to speak about this ayah that I recited from Surah Al-Ahzab. It is an incredible surah, especially with respect to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many of the collective as well as the personal dimensions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life are brought into this surah. And then there's this incredible ayah right along towards the end of it, what I just recited, which talks about how Allah salutes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But before we get to the ayah, a little bit of background is necessary, of course. We left in our previous episode, we spoke about Uhud, and just a little bit about a little summary of what took place and some of the lessons that we can glean from that. Of course, there is no there are incredibly more and perhaps even more significant lessons that can be brought out or taken from the incident of Uhud. Of course, we work with our limitations, both in terms of time and ability, and restrict ourselves to whatever we did discuss. After Uhud, in a sense, between Mecca and Medina, the score is tied. Badr belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Uhud belongs to the Quraysh. They won, right? Now there's a something of a tiebreaker that has to take place. And for this tiebreaker of sorts, there were various times in between that they tried but couldn't. It didn't really work out. No battle really happened after Uhud. And the Quraysh really wanted to come strong. So what they did was they developed alliances. They hired people. They cut deals with entire tribes, the Ghatafan being one of them, the major ones, to bring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba. And this is a huge army, 10,000 strong, at least from what I remember, that's going to attack Medina, not just from who's coming with the Quraysh, but also there is a threat that the Jewish settlements may break their treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that opening is going to be the weakest link, weakest point. Now, of course, the army that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam can put together in this time is not going to be sufficient to match whatever is coming towards Medina. And so what they do, as you all know, is on the advice of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is to dig a trench. So this is also known as the Battle of the Trench, the Battle of Ahzab, in that there's this Confederates, the alliance that is coming to attack Medina, and then there is the trench. Throughout the surah, this surah of Ahzab, it's very interesting that the surah transitions from a commentary on the battle and a commentary on the married life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his personal affairs. There is a back and forth in this surah from those dimensions, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just a prophet and that's all he does, or a general of an army or head of Medina or what have you. That's not all of who he is. He's a husband at the same time. He has social relations. So this is going on like in daily routine in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ, that he's dealing with these affairs one after the other, some social, some personal, some political. And of course, spirituality infuses all of these through and through. But they're not all religious affairs. Some of them are very personal affairs. And they too are being commented upon by the Quran, by this surah in particular. So Ahzab is dealing with those issues. In particular, the marriage of Rasulullah ﷺ to Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha attracted a lot of controversy. And there was a lot of criticism. There was a lot of hurt that Rasulullah ﷺ was subjected to, this time not at the hands of Quraysh, but at the hands of people in Medina. So there is that going along. There was the issue of Zayd being Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha's husband and him being the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there was that issue as well. And the position, or what, to what degrees adoption is how okay is that in terms of being really his son? So he even had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name. Right, and so his biological parentage was not accounted for. That was okay in the Arab tradition, but the Quran objects that no, they have to retain their lineage. That is important. In any case, we're not going into the details of that. So all of this is being taking place in this surah, is being spoken about in this particular surah. As far as the Battle of Ahzab was concerned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum had, as far as their, this is their, what Taif was, the ordeal of Taif, the pain that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the suffering that he had to go through in Taif, he had to experience, or Medina had to experience this as a unit. What Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam suffered individually, the Muslims suffered collectively in Medina, in Ahzab. It became unbearable. It was intolerable how difficult the circumstances became. Digging the trench, manning the trench, making sure nobody comes through. Some skirmishes that did take place across the people who were able to come through. Then suffering through the hunger. Because when you're locking them out, you're locking yourself in. And when you're locking yourself in, there's only so many resources that you have to supply on. You don't know how long this is going to last. And so, yes, they have to go through starvation. They're doing all of that labor, all of that fighting, while not having food, basic food. So the incidents that we hear about people coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that to keep ourselves from feeling the pain of starvation, of hunger, we have to tie stones around our bellies. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifts his shirt and says that he shows that he has to tie more than they are. So all of them across the board, head of the army, as well as the most common person, of course, would be subjected to this starvation, to this pain of Ahzab. At this point, a very important filtration takes place. And that's something that we have to recognize it in our own spiritual religious journeys. It will take place. When we become religious, when we become spiritual, there is a lot of the benefits of religiosity, of spirituality that we are told about, that are of course legitimately there, how it is going to make us feel, what order it is going to bring in our lives, the psychological and social hygienic elements associated with religiosity and spirituality. So in this particular instance, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are going through all of this torture. None of those hygienic elements are available. They're not to be seen. So what we spoke about with respect to Suraqah bin Malik, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is migrating, he told Suraqah that I see the bracelets of the king of Persia on your hands, on your arms. So this is something that the rest of the believers have also heard of. Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied and said that the success that this campaign, that this religion is going to have, is going to be such that we're going to conquer Persia. And as difficult to believe as it was, Badr was such that it becomes more and more believable. Of course, there's a experience of Quran and the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself that they trust that. A lot of the people are jumping the bandwagon of Islam because now it's easier to become a part of the Muslim contingent because now they're getting successful. Now there's actual spoils coming in. They're economically growing. Come Ahzab, all of that is replaced with strife, with difficulty, with pain, with suffering. And that's something a good group of them say, we did not sign up for this. We signed up for this religion to follow with this prophet. We were told we're going to get the jewels of Persia. This, we don't even have the freedom to go to the bathroom. Literally verbatim, this is what they said. We can't even go to the bathroom. And we were told we're going to get kingdom of Persia or whatever. Look at this. So that the Quran quotes this in Surah Ahzab. And they said, مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. The promise of Allah and His Messenger was a deception. They lied to us. And the reason I say that each and every one of us will to some level, to some degree, experience this in our individual lives, exemplified most commonly by how we're expecting some of our prayers, our du'as, that in our pre-religious life or pre-practicing life, we were very fervent in and thought that the more religious we become, the more guarantee we get for those prayers to be accepted, for the peace and tranquility, the happiness that we associate, that we market with spirituality and religiosity, that we attain that. And of course, with religiosity, with spirituality, there is this promise of prayers being answered. There is this promise of life being better. But it comes with a lot of qualifiers. And of them is the struggle that is involved to get there. That how much, as important as prayers getting answered are in a religious, spiritual life of an individual, unanswered prayers are instrumental as well. As important as experiences of tranquility, of peace, of order, of happiness, as they are in the life of a spiritual, religious person, the promise of strife, of suffering, of pain, of hunger, of fear, of grief, those are equally important because it is a journey, it is a process, It is not something that you, boom, sign up for religion and everything is okay. That is not how it works. So when the group of Medina, identified as the hypocrites, when they experience the strife of Ahzab, of the battle of Ahzab, they say, Allah and His Messenger lied to us. We've been deceived. This is something that we may not have the audacity to say in our individual lives when our prayers are not answered, when that happiness does not come in, when there's suffering and strife, despite religiosity and spirituality. We may not have audacity to say it, but at some level we feel it. We experience it emotionally. And the more we're unable to express it or even acknowledge it, the more we grow in resentment. And so we find the typical pattern of religiosity not lasting very long. We won't say why. We may not even be consciously aware of why. But we're just not practicing anymore, not praying anymore, not interested in religion anymore, other than the bare minimum. So somebody who was so intent at one point, 5 daily prayers, the hajjah, intent du'as, crying, Quran, the whole shebang, now barely makes it to Jummah. And it's gradual. But we'll never say that it's because I didn't get what I was looking for. No one's going to say that. Some people will. Most won't. Until we probe, until we dig. And this is something that inevitably you have to do. When you get at somebody's unhappiness, this is a very important history for a lot of people who come from a religious background. Now, at this point in Medina, with the Battle of Ahzab, there is this parallel contingent of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, whose iman is verified by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the Quran, who say, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ, that this is, this suffering, this pain, this difficulty, this is what Allah and His Messenger promised us. We knew this time was going to come. We weren't shown half a picture. Rasulullah didn't just tell us about the kingdom of Persia. He told us of the pain and suffering in its pathway as well. The Quran told us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. The Quran promises that we will definitely test you with khawf, with fear. That is something emotional, that's something psychological. You will have to go through fear of hunger. You will have to face it. There is suffering in this path. Loss of fruits of your own labor, labor that you do for your religious growth and development didn't work out. You will have to face it. Prayers that won't be answered, all of that. So the Sahaba said, we knew that this was going to come. This is it. This is what we were waiting for. We set ourselves up for it. And Allah and His Messenger spoke nothing but the truth. This is what we were looking for. And these are the people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sanctions, he affirms for us their iman. The Quran affirms for us the iman of the Sahaba. That these are the people who've spoken the truth. These are the people, when they say la ilaha illallah, it is the truth. These are the people, Surah Ahzab tells us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the uswa hasana. And then these are the people who verified their iman, who proved true to their iman. Very quickly, if I can just scroll to those ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yeah, hang on. Okay. Give me a bit, I'm almost there. Almost there. There you go. Okay, so oh no, I lost it again. Wait. There you go. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ, this is the beginning of the third ruku, ayah number 21. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. Definitely for you in the Messenger of Allah is an excellent role model. Who for those who hope in Allah and the last day. وذكر الله كثير and remember Allah a lot. ولما رأى المؤمنين الأحزاب when the true believers ولما رأى المؤمنون الأحزاب when the true believers saw the allied forces, the confederates, قالوا, they said, هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله. This is what Allah and His Rasul promised us. Just a few ayats ago, the munafiqeen were quoted as saying, Allah and His Messenger lied to us. The feeling of being betrayed by your own spirituality and religiosity. They expressed it and were set on it. The Sahaba said, no, we knew that this suffering was coming. That it was going to be a difficult walk. It wasn't going to be a walk in the park. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ Allah and His Messenger were absolutely true. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا And these experiences of suffering increased them in iman, faith and submission. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الرِّجَالَ And from these believers are men. صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ They are true to what they promised Allah. Now this categorization of men is gender free in the sense that it is talking about an achievement in commitment, in truthfulness, really lived up to their word. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ So from them are those who have fulfilled their vow. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ And some of them are still waiting for their chance to fulfill their vow. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا And they have not changed at all. The surah goes on to say, Allah addresses the believers and says that Allah salutes you. The ayat that I recited today, Allah and His messenger, Allah and His angels, they send salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sixth ruku of the same surah, ayah number 41 to 43, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمْنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا That you who have believed, remember Allah, frequent remembrance, and exalt Him every morning and afternoon. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ Allah is the one who salutes you. He sends His salutations upon you. You turn to Him in dhikr and prayer, He turns to, again, he uses the same word. Salah is what we use when we pray. Salah is our five daily prayers. Allah uses the same word to say, He yusalli alaykum. He prays upon you. And of course, that means He confers His blessings to you. He sends His salutations upon you. As do His angels. لِيُخْرِجَكُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ So that He takes you out of depths of darkness into light. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا And He has always been constantly merciful to you, to the believers, to the people who have iman. So this is, again, it was after this that this ayah comes in, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي That Allah and His angels send salutations upon Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the salutations of Allah and the messengers upon Rasulullah But the salutations of Allah and His angels upon believers who remember Allah morning, evening, and night. Salutations of Allah, salute that Allah sends, respect that Allah gives, trust that Allah gives, a belief that Allah has in us, in our abilities to do good. And empowering that Allah is in the process of. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ He is engaged in something novel each day. And part of His novel engagements includes remembering human beings and sending salutations upon them. Sending salawat upon them. There is so much more to the word salah and salawat than I even understand. That far more than salutations can communicate. but to get an idea. We are the focus of attention of none other than Almighty Allah and Allah Himself. So He, what does it mean for Him to send His salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And what point are these announcements being made? Allah sending salutations upon Rasulullah, Allah sending salutations upon the mu'mineen. These announcements are being made in the aftermath of Ahzab. All of what they've been through, all of what they've done, the proof that they've presented, that through thick and thin, through difficulty and ease, we remain committed to you, Ya Allah. Maintaining that degree of sabr. Stricken with fear. The Quran testified, the surah testified, that Ahzab was the most fear that any of them had ever experienced. That as a collective unit, they had not been subjected to more suffering. And so Allah responds to that with salutations. It is usually after experiences of great suffering that these salutations, these salutes are conferred, are promised. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced Mi'raj after Ta'if, after losing Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and Abu Talib. He experienced Mi'raj. The believers in Medina experience the salutation, the salawat of Allah, or they've been getting them. Allah announces that He sends them and His angels send them to reassure them that your remembrance of Allah is reciprocated by Allah's remembrance of you. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ